grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series focused upon mercy and all its aspects and how God has taught us, what God has taught us in Scripture about mercy and being merciful. How that ties into our doctrine of life. We learned so far, among other things, that we have a merciful God. That Jesus came, and Jesus was indeed himself merciful, and he shows us and reflects a merciful Father and the Holy Spirit. So we have a merciful God. Mercy, we find, make sure we all know what we're talking about. Mercy is alleviating someone else's suffering. Mercy is helping alleviate someone else's hurt. Not necessarily always taking it all away. We aren't capable of that. Jesus was. We are not. But to relieve someone else's, at least temporarily, if nothing else, pain, hurt, and situation. That's what we're talking about in our talk about mercy. The greatest example of God's mercy, of course, was sending Jesus Christ into this world so that we could be reconnected with our Heavenly Father, and we could receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with him. That's mercy to its highest extent. We just sang about that. That's the mercy that was in our hymn. Oh, how great is your compassion. Compassion, another word for mercy. Oh, how great is your compassion, faithful Father, God of grace, that with all our fallen race in our depth of degradation, you had mercy so that we might be saved eternally. And that's the mercy we often preach and teach about every week, as a matter of fact. It's the gospel. And that's what kind of church we are, the gospel makes a church. But sometimes we forget about the other mercy and compassion that Jesus showed and that he teaches us to do and to be also. You see, Jesus is mercy incarnate. They were these one of the trees all the time. You remember what it means, don't you? Incarnate. You don't use that word. I didn't go to a business meeting. I was in the business world. So I want to make this idea incarnate. Okay? I never used that word. Incarnate means to put on flesh. You see the carn in there? You know what chili con carne is, don't you? That's cheese with meat. Carne is meat. Or carn, carnal. Something is carnal, meaning it's flesh, fleshly. Okay? That's how we live some of the uses of the root of that word. Incarnate means to put on flesh. When we say that Jesus became incarnate, we mean he came down, became a man, he put on flesh. He put on flesh. He put on skin. Jesus' mercy is skin. Jesus' love is incarnate. Mercy is incarnate. Compassion is incarnate. We have three examples of that in our gospel reading today. That's why we kind of skipped around there. So we find at least three times. There's many, many more. There's like a 12 or 15 in the book we're kind of following here. Matthew, Harrison, Christ, and mercy. And there's more than that. Here's one. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had word that's translated in our English Bible, compassion, is a very, very interesting word in the original Greek. Compassion is a good translation. Mercy could be substituted there. But it captures what the Greek says. The Greek root word for what we translate mercy and compassion means gut. What it means gut. It means the internal organs. It means the intestine, the stomach. When you, a good direct translation today probably of the root word of compassion would be viscera. Viscera. Yeah, we don't read that word every day either. But those of you who are deer hunters, when you feel a grass of deer or you take it home and hang it in your garage, like some people do, but anyway, you slit it open and you reach an area, scoop out all the inside, and it falls on the ground. That's viscera. That's viscera. I have never cleaned a deer, but we did have a dad and I have cleaned some rabbits and squirrels. Same thing. You open it up, you reach in there, and you scoop out all that stuff you're not going to eat. Yeah. Scoop out a lot. So, gut, that's the word. So, the verb form, when it says, Jesus had compassion, when Jesus says, I have compassion, what it really means is, my gut aches. My gut aches for you. Did you ever witness a situation or hear about something or see something on TV, and it, you did make I want to say, maybe cringe, not to look away, but it made you almost sick inside with pity and concern and wonder how could someone go through that, and your gut tenses up. You know, I can't tense my gut up without also scrunching my face on any camera, but it's like this. Oh. That's what's being said here. Every time the word compassion is used about Jesus, it was a very visceral feeling and emotion for him. His gut ached for the people he saw in need. When we have these examples of Jesus and compassion, is always followed by something. He didn't just sit there like we often use the call. Sarah! Every time it is followed by action. Action to relieve some of this misery. Now Jesus, being God and man, can do much more than we can. So often he takes away healing someone's sight or the deafness of the knees or being able to walk and lay. We aren't capable of that, us and thank you. But what we can do is alleviate others' suffering. People are homeless. We can point them to a shelter, take them there. We can get them a night in our home, tell them exactly how many times the people that I have come across. Okay? Or if they're hungry, perhaps we can find a way that they can receive food, hopefully through a homeless shelter, which is homeless, we're over the head and a hot meal. Okay, now. Again, these are case-by-case decisions, and in the small group class that I am part of on Wednesday nights, we talked about how far should we go? What is really helping someone? Is giving someone on the street money, is that helping? When, who knows what we can spend it on? These are questions for us, there's no doubt about that. You don't have to stop and help everybody to see on the street. You don't have to put money in every envelope that comes in the mail to you. And you don't even feel guilty about not doing those things. But God, if you open yourself up to this, God will put in your life, every once in a while, someone or something that will make it better. Though you need to pay attention. Though you need to see if you are in a position and have need to do something. You see, Jesus, his mercy is planned. He put on our skin to feel what we feel, to experience what we experience. And he did it all. He did all that.
You
salvation is already accomplished through faith in Jesus Christ. That's done and taken care of. Christ died for the sins of the world. Christ died for your sins and my sins. Even the lack of compassion in our lives. Right? Salvation is assured. We already have a place in heaven. That's taken care of. This comes at your baptism, which gives you Jesus and the Holy Spirit, changing you from the inside out, is a result of your faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. That's taken care of. This comes after. This is part of the gospel of being freed from your fleshly self-interest to consider others also. It's part of growing in faith. So no one should feel that this is an extra burden to do to receive Jesus. To be saved. That's not what it's all about. It's a result of being saved. It's part of the gospel in you. And so, John, the disciple, could write these words as a self-test. Let's see how you can judge yourself about how you come along as being growing and growing more Christ-like in this area of mercy or compassion. Again, a self-test. Don't use these words to judge anybody else, but just yourself. As a self-test, see how you do it. John writes in 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or thought, but in deed and in truth. Brothers and sisters,